Amen. So I want to go through some of that today and hit on those things. We don't talk about that very often, but I want to share with you some things that I've read and that heard, and I've kind of put it all together. And so, and then at the end, we are going to pray. I tell you what, it's a terrible situation over there, and they are hostages that are still there that have been taken, and the word is they've got them underground in tunnels, and so anyway, we'll talk about all of that here in just a little bit. Galen, thank you for that song. Oh my gosh, I was reminded of the story in the Old Testament, the Shunammite woman, and how God, they had been mourning a child, and the prophet comes along. She'd been taking care of the prophet, had a room for him every time he come to town, and found out that she and her husband was trying to have a child, and so they declared, they prayed over her and said she would, and that promise came, and as the story goes, many of you know, the child is out in the field with his dad and has a seizure and takes it back to the mama, and it dies, the little one dies. And so she knew that was a promise that God had given her. And so she wasn't going to take no for an answer. She wasn't going to settle for that. And so as you read that story, you find she gets on that donkey and that servant, she's going to the prophet, and everybody's asking her, "Are you okay?" She says, "It is well. Is your husband okay?" "It's well. It's well. It's well." And the prophet comes back, and that child is raised up. That promise was not lost. And we know the enemy wants to take what God has promised us. Amen. He wants to take what God has given you in your life. But we're not going to let the enemy take that. And if anything has been stolen, the Bible says the enemy has to give it back sevenfold. Amen. Amen. So you were right on, and thank you, Sister North, from the beginning. Every song, the text that you sent this morning to all of the music people was right on. Brandon, thank you for being letting the Holy Spirit lead. And thank y'all for being here today for our church family. Oh, my goodness, and God is good. I'm going to cover some history and some things, and there may be a lot of things that you know. And if I get something wrong, maybe later on you can correct me on that and your thoughts on that afterwards. But we're just going to talk about it today, okay? So in light of what has happened over in Israel this last week and what is still occurring as we are here today, I felt I wanted to come to you and share some things to help us have some understanding, especially as it relates to Bible prophecy, and to see then what our part is in all of this as we go forward. Can you say amen? Amen. We have to, again, like I just said, we have to understand that what affects Israel affects us. And they are God's people, and God gave them that land. Amen. Amen. And as born-again believers, we have been grafted into the family of God. The promises that God gave Abraham and for his children and generations on, we have those same promises. Yes. Amen. They are ours. And so at the end of this message this morning, I want us to pray together for Israel and God's perfect will to be done in all of our lives. We're going to be praying for the hostages to be returned and for the leaders, and we'll have that all up on the screen. But we're going to do that at the end today. But for a while, I'd like for you to stay with me as long as you can as we go through this, okay? Let's start with just a couple of verses. Well, the title of my message today is Raise the Bar. Raise the Bar. Raise the bar of our faith walk, of our commitment to the Lord. That's what we're talking about. And so, Psalms 122 and verse 6, the Lord tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. That word prosper means secure, successful, and happy. So it's important every day, and I know many of you do that every day. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Also, in Psalm chapter 121 in verse 4, it says, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And you just have to know that God was not asleep last weekend. He was not on vacation. He was not on a cruise. He knew exactly what was happening, as evil as it was. Okay. Now, there's a lot of interest concerning Israel, and one reason is because of that terrible attack that happened last weekend, and what is continuing as we speak, as we hear. And through today's technology, we can see it now in what is called real time. The attack against Israel by terrorists that happened last weekend happened on the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. It was a very significant day. It was on the last day of the Festival of Sukkot, where people were celebrating in Israel and across the world, Jews were celebrating the law. It was the final reading of the law, and the people were supposed to be joyfully celebrating that as they have done every year after year. And in 1973, the Yom Kippur War was launched then by Arab neighbors who sought to take Israel completely off guard, and they did. Israel did not expect what happened 50 years ago to the day, and as we discovered, Israel was not expecting what happened last weekend. On Saturday, many of you have heard the news or read it online. On Saturday, over 3,500 rockets were launched from what is known as the Gaza Strip into Israeli territories indiscriminately. They just let them fall where they may, killing whoever it would kill. And that has been the pattern in the past. And then, as you know, may already know, armed terrorists went across the border at several places and invaded towns and villages and went from house to house, killing whole families, including some, sadly, some of the Holocaust victims or the survivors, taking many hostage and even burning them in their vehicles when they sought to escape. It has been said that they used ISIS-like methodology, going door to door, and I'm going to leave it at that. You probably have heard all of the horrific stories. As of Friday, it is said some 1,300 dead in Israel, including 27 Americans, and by now that number may have changed. That's significant. It was not a skirmish as in the past. It's called the bloodiest day in Israel's history, in modern day Israel, since the Holocaust. And they say it's equivalent to our country's 9/11 times 10. So Prime Minister Netanyahu has declared they are now at war. And if you look at the population of that country versus the population of this country, it is like 10 or 11 9/11s happening overnight. So many could sit back and ask, well, what significance does all of this have with us? And especially those of us who believe in and trust in the revelation of Scripture. Well, first of all, every now and then in life, you're given a moment where you have moral clarity like no other moment. When you're able to have a certain kind of unhindered view into a situation that you have not had up to this point. In this case, we were able to see pure evil at work. That's what it was. The world has now seen the side of a terrorist organization called Hamas. And like Hezbollah and like several others under different names, we have been shown then the face of these organizations and the kind of things that Israel told us they did and what they believed in. But the world wasn't so sure. Now we are sure. And I know many of you that have served overseas and in the Middle East, you know all of what has happened and what has happened in the past. You've experienced it. And now we have the kind of clarity that many of us did not have otherwise. It's being said that this was Israel's Pearl Harbor. It's the worst set of civilian murders and casualties in Israel in the entire history of the state of Israel in such a short period of time. Again, this is the biggest murder of Jews since the Holocaust. Meaning in a four-day period, we've never seen anything quite like this. Most Americans don't know who Hamas is. They are a radical Islamist terrorist organization, but you have to think ISIS because Hamas doesn't mean anything to most Americans. Yet ISIS does, as it has been etched into our minds through the media over the years since 9/11. And what atrocities that occurred this last weekend is described as off the chart, demonic, and satanic. They were saying grief is the number one emotion that people are dealing with right now, as some are still wanting to receive their loved ones and give them a proper burial. It has been a process just to identify the remains of so many of them. After grief, then you hear where many are scared, and then that fear turns to anger, and then you hear they now have what is called a resolve to go forward. The country of Israel has never been so unified. And from the leaders on down then, they are declaring that they are going to win this war, but they say it's going to be messy is what the words were used. The Israeli army is preparing to enter the Gaza Strip as we speak to be able to get the Hamas terrorist. And I think as of this morning, they had put out leaflets by air all over Gaza, the North Gaza territory, telling the Palestinians, the 2 million, that they had to move to the south. And as of this morning, I think they were saying 1 million had already gone. It's a small territory, 10 or 12 miles wide, 20 to 25 miles long, and over 2 million Palestinians in that dense area. Terrible situation. The Israeli army is going to enter the Gaza Strip to be able to get to the Hamas terrorist. And hopefully, prayerfully, we believe for our hostages, for those hostages. And so for us to understand this, Israel does not occupy the Gaza Strip right now. In 2005, they finished pulling out all of Israeli soldiers, and there were a lot of civilians living down there, and they pulled them out, and they just gave this parcel of land to the Palestinian people as a gift. And understand, the Palestinians, as much as is talked about them and against Israel, treating them wrong, nobody wants them. Egypt doesn't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. Iraq doesn't want them. All the Arab countries, as much as they talk about it, they don't want to have to fool with them. But it's all against Israel is what it comes down to. They're using the Palestinians to get back at Israel. So with that being given to them as a gift, there's no actual reason for a terrorist to come across the border and tell Israel, we're here to fight you because you're occupying our land. Yes, then, Israel had to protect themselves, so a border was put in place. And we hear then that for years, Hamas has been getting weapons and getting them into the Gaza Strip. So what country is behind this? Well, the main supplier of arms and strategy and money is the terrorist regime in Iran. You've got to understand the majority of Iran's population is a very young age group who desires the freedoms that they see that we have here in the West. They desire it, and many of them have said they love America. But they are ruled then by an older fanatical group that has an iron fist on them. So that's a problem. One of the ways the Iranians get their supplies of weapons into the Gaza Strip to the terrorists is by hiding them in shipments of humanitarian relief of goods going in for the Palestinian people. A lot of that coming from the south, from Egypt, going into the Gaza Strip. So, in that, who are the ones? The Palestinians then are the ones who voted in the Hamas to rule over them in the first place, which was a mistake, and they are paying the consequences for that. Israel knows a lot of the missiles or the rockets that are actually built. They're built in metal shops in Gaza. That's why there is so much bombing. They know where all of these places are. And sadly, the Hamas puts a lot of their weapons underneath apartment buildings of Palestinian people, underneath the hospitals, because they don't believe that Israel will bomb the hospitals. Sadly, Israel is telling them, you have to leave now, because we're going to bomb the hospitals. And they're giving them a chance. They've always been that way, to try to save the civilians. The weapons are not that sophisticated, so you can just keep building thousands and thousands of them based on just scrap metal or metal that they've been bringing in to reconstruct the damaged buildings and even to build new high-rises. And then a lot of international aid gets siphoned off by Hamas and used to build terror tunnels and weapons and so forth. And then whole weapons are smuggled in, sometimes through tunnels from Egypt. Israel thought they were doing a good job at sealing the Gaza Strip off from the outside world, but clearly we find that Iran and the Hamas has blindsided them by being far better prepared than Israeli intelligence realized. And that's a colossal failure, a staggering failure then of Israeli intelligence. And there will be a political price to pay for those in power there now in Israel, especially if they do not win this war so successfully that everybody focuses on the victory rather than the horrific early set of defeats. Prime Minister Netanyahu was the one who made peace then with four Arab countries called the Abraham Accords. Understand, these Arabs then were the Sunnis. They were descendants of Ishmael, whose father was Abraham. And he's the one that has kept Israel out of a major war in the region and protected them. And they say he has done a good job up to this point. But something went wrong. So we understand the terrorist group Hamas that rules the Gaza Strip and did this atrocity doesn't do anything on its own. All of the direction comes from Iran. So why does Iran want to pick a fight with them now? Because they want to blow up, as a word picture, they want to blow up, if you please, the peace process. They are terrified. The Iranian regime is terrified of the idea of Israeli and Saudi peace treaty. And the Saudi Arabia, are Sunnis. They're descendants of Ishmael. Iran is not. Iran is the Shiites. They are. They come from all kind of. They're Arabs, but they come from Persia and all of the ancient people. And they do this because that would essentially be the end of the Arab-Israeli conflict as we know it, if there happens to be peace. And so what has been the Iranian leadership strategy is to tell Hamas, you go into Israel and you carry out this massive attack, which was in the planning, they say now, for some 2 years, and then you lure Israel into a ground war inside Gaza, which again, they're saying is going to be incredibly messy, is the word they use. It's called urban warfare. Street to street, house to house, apartment to apartment, and there will be booby traps and there will be landmines awaiting the soldiers. And there could be then high Israeli casualties, but for God's protection. And we know there's going to be high Palestinian casualties. And what does Iran want at the leadership level? What does the supreme leader of Iran want? Of course, he wants dead Jews. But what he really wants is dead Palestinians. Well, Pastor, why would the supreme leader of Iran want the Arab people, the Palestinians, dead? Because he wants television images to go around the world of collateral damage of women and children and young men who are killed then by Israel, as Israel tries now to root out and destroy the terrorists once and for all. They are preparing to go in on the ground. Up to this point, they've been doing it by air with bombs. And they are who are hiding behind the human shields of some 2 million civilians and behind the Israeli and American hostages that they have. So we see this is cowardly, and it's a very demonic way to hide behind our hostages and innocent Palestinian people. My heart goes out to the Palestinians too. You've got to understand that. We should love them, and we're going to be praying for them too. And if Israel tries to go get them, no matter what happens, how hard they try not to kill civilians, we know it can possibly happen. And when it happens, this will make the supreme leader of Iran very happy, because CNN and MSNBC and, yes, Fox News and all the other networks will start to make Israel look like they are the monsters of the world. And the Iranian leadership then hopes that this will cause the Arab Muslim world to back away from Israel rather than gravitate towards them. And ultimately, Iran wants Israel to be annihilated. It's the Iranian leadership, the leaders that are on record, that keep saying, we want to wipe Israel off the map. But to get there, they need to isolate Israel. And what they're terrified of is, rather than the whole Muslim world being against Israel right now, more and more of the Muslim world is for Israel at this moment. But we know that can change very quickly. Amen. Amen. And that's what they are trying to blow up right now. Not realizing it, Hamas has just done in 4 days what nobody else could do in the last few years, which is unify Israel. At this moment, they're saying that Israel is practically 100% unified. And in fact, Netanyahu this week called for the leaders of the political opposition parties to join him and in an emergency unity government. And they have, and they are together now declaring they are at war. They say they're going into the biggest invasion of Gaza ever because they can never let this happen again. And the only way is to go into Gaza so hard and so deep as to completely eradicate Hamas forever. But there's a prophetic angle now to this. It's possible that if this happens and Israel truly wins and completely eliminates Hamas, suddenly Gaza would be peaceful. And this would add to the sense then of Israel's becoming more and more peaceful with more and more of its neighbors. But with that said, it could be what is setting up a moment where the Palestinians would realize, well, they're defeated. Don't try to destroy Israel. Learn to live at peace next to Israel. And we're then reminded of the scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction, or sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And then that could lead to the very conditions of Ezekiel 38. Peace and prosperity in Israel, when then Russia and Iran and these other countries come into attack in the Gog and Magog war. And I believe it's too early to draw any conclusions, but I'm just saying, if you look down the road a bit, as bad as this is, it gives Israel 100% unity in their intentions to finish this terror movement off. So, as it relates then to how we are to think and pray and responsibly stand for Israel going forward, I believe last Saturday we saw a moral clarity that has rarely been presented to us. The face of pure evil again on display versus the face of its victims. And I think in the next few days and weeks, a lot of people, including us as believers, including Christians across the world, are going to be put to the test. As Israel entrenches itself in this war, you're going to see an increase in anti-Semitism. We already are seeing it across the world. You're going to see more of these mass pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian rallies throughout the world, and also in major American cities. It's possible, watch this now, it's possible that your coworkers, those that work in your environment, may confront you. How will you respond when they ask, well, aren't you one of those pro-Israel Christians? Aren't you one of those Israel nut job Christians? Look at these people. Look at these Jews at what they're doing to the people of Gaza. A lot of Christians are going to have a decision then to make. Listen now. Because they're going to be tested. And how successful you and I are on that test will have to do with our convictions. And where our convictions are has to do with how much time we each spend with the Lord each and every day. Amen. We talk about it every time we gather, how important it is through the Word to, we've got to spend time on a daily basis with the Lord. We've got to get into His arms, Brandon. We've got to let Him speak to us. And unfortunately, a whole lot of folks out there who claim to be Christian spend more time in front of cable news than they do in the presence of the Lord. And I'm here to tell us this morning, we are entering into a very dark time where if we're going to overcome, if we're going to even survive these coming days, if we're going to pass the test as individuals, we have to spend time in the presence of the Lord. I cannot encourage you enough that more than ever before, we need to go daily to that fountain of living water. Wherever we can find then a rejuvenation of strength for the battles that we face. Understand, our strength and help only comes from the Lord. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God that is residing within us who are believers. And today, that's not exclusive to the Israel issue or anything going on. Understand, we have entered again the last days, and the only way any of us will survive and keep our garments clean and be able to love others, even people who we disagree with, is again to go to the fountain where we get those living waters that Jesus spoke of in the book of John. The living waters that keep giving if you will go to them each and every day and drink of that fountain. Now let me help frame all of this in a way we can understand. It may seem like the Middle East is a very complex situation. It actually is pretty basic. One side wants the other dead. On one side, you have a Jewish nation, a Jewish state called modern-day Israel. Israel wishes to exist as a sovereign state living in peace. But they also recognize that the Palestinians want their own state. And they want, it would seem like, a level of peace. That's their presumption. Effectively, what Gaza has been in the past is a Palestinian state. Contrary to what you may have heard, again, Gaza is not occupied by the Israelis. In 2005, under Ariel Sharon, they completely left Gaza. They completely gave it over to the authority of the Palestinians, who then elected Hamas to be the ruling governing body in that district. Most Palestinians and other Arab nations, not all, but many of them, deny the right of Israel to exist. They don't believe Israel is legitimate. Now, are y'all okay? Are you staying with me?
Yes.
We don't do this every Sunday, but I felt we needed to do it today.
Yes.
It's important. We're going to pray here in a little bit.
Yes.
I'm going to get through talking, then we're going to start praying, okay? They don't think it has a right to even exist in that part of the world. And that has been true all the way back to 1948. In 1948, the United Nations declared Israel a sovereign nation. They sought to partition the land into a Jewish state and into an Arab state. The Jews accepted the partition for them of the United Nations. Not one Arab nation accepted that. In fact, not only did they not accept that, but one day after Israel became a nation, that was on May 14th, 1948, on May 15th, virtually every Arab neighbor attacked Israel to destroy it. Israel had been a nation one day. They didn't even have an organized army to speak of. But you had all of the surrounding nations laying siege to destroy Israel. Miraculously, God protected Israel, and they survived that attack. It happened again in 1967 when Egypt's President Nasser, in his own words, allowed his army to attack Israel to destroy Israel. And on that day, Egypt attacked, Syria attacked, Lebanon attacked, Iraq attacked, and the Jordanians also attacked. God's people prevailed, and Israel survived that 1967 incursion. And shortly after that, just a couple of months, was the first time then since the war that there was an Arab summit in Sudan, in Khartoum, where the Arab states who were represented at that meeting gave the famous three no's to going forward. They said there's not going to be any recognition, there's no peace, and there will be no negotiations. They will never recognize Israel. I want you to get this. There is a charter, for those who care to read it, called the Hamas Charter, and the charter calls then for the destruction of the nation of Israel. This is what Israel's up against. In Article 13 of the Hamas Charter, it says, there is no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors. End of quote. You see what they're saying. Don't bother coming to us to sign any kind of agreement. We'll never agree to anything. We want to completely annihilate Israel. In fact, just the other day, this resurfaced. This is from one of the co-founders of the Hamas. He warned, and we should take this warning to heart, that Israel is only the first target. He said, and here I'm quoting, the entire planet will be under our law. That's their goal. And there will be no more Jews or Christian traitors. The entire 510 million square kilometers of planet Earth will come under a system where there is no injustice, no oppression, no Zionism, and no treacherous Christianity. That sounds like under the rule of the Antichrist. And this is what they believe. The unofficial motto of Hamas, this terrorist organization, is this: we love death as much as the Jews love life. So let me ask, how do you negotiate with somebody like that? You don't. We love death as much as the Jews love life, is what they said. So this is why then the Palestinians historically have never really settled on any kind of a peace agreement. They've never come under a settlement to a settlement, though there was an agreement under Bill Clinton, and there was a few different agreements historically, like the Oslo Accords. It didn't last very long because of their ideology. Instead, Palestinians and Arab nations who are the Shiites, especially Iran, who funds some of these terror groups, or most of them, do you remember how they responded? By sending wave after wave of suicide bombers in the nation. It got so bad through the years that the Israelis built a security wall for its own protection, which cut out then about 90% of that terrorism. They had to build a wall around the country of Israel. And of course, they were chastised. Israel was chastised for defending itself. They also responded by writing, watch this, curriculum for elementary school students in Palestine or in the Gaza Strip. Listen to this. In the curriculum, it's a degrading of the Jewish people. In the curriculum, they're training a whole next generation of terrorists. In elementary schools, they will show children how to behead a teddy bear to get them prepped for what we have seen going on this last week. This week, Gaza attacked Israel with thousands of rockets. Do you know how many rockets then they say have been fired indiscriminately over the border from Gaza into Israel just since 2001? That's when they started. It said that over 20,000 or plus rockets have been fired from Gaza into Israel. And then in 2021, they came up with this brilliant little device called the Indusiri balloon. They took balloons and they filled them with fuel and tied them to a kite and flew them out over Israel, hoping that it would light the farms on fire, and it did. The forest on fire, and it did. And even some of the cities on fire. Then, as we've seen this week on the news, paragliders with machine guns coming across from Gaza into Israel, and then drones with bombs on them being unleashed. And so now, finally, Israel, they finally have said enough is enough. And they formed then this formal declaration of war. That's according to their constitution, Article 40A. They invoke that, and there is now the next level declaration of war. That is not what Israel wanted. They did not begin this attack. They gave the land of Gaza completely to the Palestinians. Ariel Sharon brought any Israeli settlements back out of there, giving it to them in 2005. I came across this quote this very week. I want you to hear what the words of the fourth prime minister of Israel. I want you to hear her words. That was gold in my ear. She said this, "We can forgive the Arabs for killing our children. We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill their children. We will only have peace with the Arabs when they love their children more than they hate us." I'm telling you, all I can say, that was quite of a quote. But for many of us, we realize it always comes back to Israel. It always comes back to Jerusalem. And what affects Israel affects us, good or bad. Here you have this little nation that is smaller than the Central America country of El Salvador. You have a country that is roughly the size, they say now, of New Jersey. And yet it all comes back to Jerusalem. It all comes back to Israel. Here's what the prophet Zechariah tells us in his book, chapter 12 and verse 3. This is a New Living Translation. "On that day I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves." The King James says, "They will be cut into pieces." So the Bible predicts, as it has been in the past, the Bible predicts so in the future, that the focal point of history will center on the Jewish people and the state of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Understand that God tells time by the Jewish people. 70 weeks, Daniel said, are determined for your holy city and your people. In Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, there is the prediction then of a future war that involves Israel, and it involves the nations around the world, but in particular an alliance that takes place between Russia and Iran and Turkey and the Islamic states of the Upper Nile, all against the nation of Israel. We call it the Gog and Magog War. What you're seeing this week, I don't believe is that war, but I do believe it is pointing to that war. It looks like it's going in that direction, though there are some differences, and here's the main difference. In the Ezekiel war, there are actual nations of the world that fight Israel. That's not happening right now. Israel is fighting a terrorist organization called Hamas. They're not engaged formally in a war against any nation yet. And this could, however, lead up to the Ayatollah's doorstep in Tehran, in Iran. It has that possibility. So in that Ezekiel war, even though we have America right now with its warships out in the Mediterranean, as a backup for this war, and they are telling them, yes, we're going to get involved in this war. They're going to attack Hezbollah if Hezbollah comes after Israel. So in the Ezekiel war, no nation will help Israel. God Himself will once again defend Israel alone. And guess what? He's quite capable of doing it on His own, as the world will see. Why? Because they're His people, and that is His land. But during the Ezekiel war, no nation will come to Israel's defense, not even our nation. All the nations will turn against them. This could be then preemptively what is leading up to that war. That actually is the Armageddon War. We're not there yet. In other words, this has the potential right now of producing that. Now, I do believe we're still going to see a third world war where over two-thirds of the world will be killed. The Bible tells that. Here's what you should know. Hamas is funded then by Iran and directed by Iran. And Tehran, among the Ayatollahs and the upper echelon, Israel is called the little Satan, and America is called the great Satan. A former president by the name of President Obama gave $1.2 billion in cash and flew it to Iran. And then he promised them $100 billion to them. The very next president, President Trump, canceled that deal. Thank you, Jesus. But then this current president reinstated the deal and promised them $6 billion. Listen now, this is to the world's largest sponsor of terrorism ever. Iran is the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism across the globe. Why would anybody want to give money to them for that? They want to see our country taken down and Israel taken down. You could say it's for humanitarian purpose, but actually, you've got to understand Iran has lots of money in their reserves. But something else that you need to know, though Hamas is armed and funded by Iran, and I'm almost through, got just a little bit more. Do you know that Hamas terrorists were trained by the Russians? Yes. Now think back to Ezekiel 38. You have this strange alliance that has never happened before, never happened historically. The prophet predicted it. Never in history can we find it until now. Hamas is funded by Iran, but the terrorists were trained by a Russian group called the Wagner Group. You may have heard that in the news here recently. A lot of those fighters were in the Ukraine. They came in after an incursion in Africa. They came to Gaza to train them militarily. I did not know that till I read this week. And just this week, Russia said, if the United States supports Israel in this war, then Russia will support the Palestinians in this war. And what I have heard is that the powers that be want Russia to be involved in this war because they want them also, they want them in both places. They want to see Russia destroyed too. Russia will support the Palestinians then in this war. And then there's the president of Turkey who rebuked Israel, saying that Israel is ruthlessly targeting the Palestinians and inviting and violating human rights. But Turkey doesn't want the Palestinians in their country. It's just all against Israel. So I've wanted to show you some of the back thinking and talking that's going on in the war right now. We have this alliance, and we already know that that has been a deal. That there has been a deal made. Now, again, when Ezekiel wrote about these nations, that had never happened. That alliance never happened. You're seeing it begin to form. So a lot more could be said. For the sake of time, I don't want to say more. I want to pray more. And we're going to do that here in just a few minutes. So let me leave you with some things to do. What do we do now? Here we are. We're Bible-believing Christians. What should we do now with all of this going on? If you got your pencil handy, you might want to write these down. Number one, stay prayerful. How many know that's a given? And we got it on the screen. Number one, stay prayerful. We saw in our text where we are commanded by Psalm 120 to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. So we should be praying for stability in the Middle East, the peace of Jerusalem in particular. So stay prayerful. Number two, stay aware. Stay aware. Our security team here at the church knows to constantly be aware of the surroundings. You want to just be aware that not everybody in the world is good. Did you know that? And not everybody loves you. Not everybody loves me. And bad things do happen to good people. So we stay prayerful. We stay aware. Why? Because we're living in difficult days. And it's not going to get any better. Just have to tell you. And what is troublesome is not only do we have instability in the Middle East, but we have an unsecured southern border in the country right now. We have tens of thousands, just leave that on the screen, that'll be great. We have tens of thousands of military age males from the Middle Eastern countries included in that incursion at the southern border. We don't know who they are. Some of them, very few, have been on the FBI's terrorist watch list that have come across the border. There's tens of thousands of people who have infiltrated this country, and we don't know who they are, and in many times now we don't even know where they are. So it's important. We're going to have to stay prayerful. We're going to have to stay aware. And the third is to stay informed. How do you stay informed? Well, you could just watch CNN and MSNBC and Fox, and we know they're going to be truthful. Isn't that right? They're truthful. They don't tell you lies. They don't cover it up. They love Israel. No, they don't. But I want to say this. Wherever you get your news from, I found this website this very week. You could get it on your, put it on your phone. It's called All Israel News. It's called allisrael.com. And these are, many of them that operate that are born again. They'll give you a daily feed right now of what's going on over there. And sadly, as of Friday night on this website, they are saying CNN, MSNBC, and other media have begun already now to attack Israel for its inhumane treatment of Palestinians. And we knew that would come. And above all, when I say be informed, I'm telling you we need to read our Bibles regularly. Get to know what God says about these issues and about the last days, about strength that you can live, about the strength that you can live your life with every day in the midst of these last days. So stay prayerful, stay aware, stay informed. And the fourth one is stay strong. Again, just know we are going to be tested in these coming days. Hamas and Iran want images of Israel inflicting damage so they can show the world that, and so they will win the media war. That's what they want to win. They want to win the hearts and minds of people around the world. And number five, stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Again, in Psalms 121 and verse 4, he who keeps Israel will never sleep or slumber. He, talking about God who keeps Israel, and he has done it time and time again, and we are included in that promise as part of God's family. If you study Jewish history and you study Israeli history, you can't help but see God's miracles in the past. I remember one particular miracle after one of the wars where Israel was in the desert and they knew ahead of all their tanks that there was a minefield. I don't know if you remember ever hearing that testimony. There was a minefield. Those soldiers got down off those tanks. They gathered together and began to pray for the God of Israel to open their eyes to be able to see. They said, "Dear," and they went back in their tanks and they stayed there in the tanks. Overnight, a great wind blew across the desert. They got up in the morning, opened up the tank lids, and there over the desert, every mine was uncovered where they could see. They were able to deal with that and make their way through. I'm telling you, God takes care of His people, and He takes care of us as His people. Think of what Israel has survived. 400 years of slavery in Egypt, two total destructions, multiple deportations, 2,000 years of dispersion, and a Holocaust. Add to that 1948, add to that 1967, add to that 1973, and now this last week. Yet we know God's going to get them through this. He who keeps Israel never slumbers or sleeps. So stay encouraged. And the ultimate encouragement is what Jesus told us in from His Word. When you see these things begin to take place, lift up your eyes because your redemption draweth nigh. Brother Galen, wherever you're at, you can come on down, brother. I don't know where he's at, but let me interject this. About 22 years ago, when 9/11 happened, everyone knew Islamic terrorism was the biggest threat to freedom and democracy throughout the world, not just in Israel. You've got to know the biggest threat is not climate change. Don't believe that lie. Amen. Sadly, the president is still hounding that just a few days ago. Well, the biggest threat is climate change. No, it's not. It's a money-making thing for a lot of people. So how in one generation then has that understanding been so completely lost? Over the past couple of decades, the culture wars and the complacent response to them have produced, watch this, a young generation of seriously confused people. That confusion has directly then impacted the rise of anti-Semitism throughout Europe and the U.S. And it's become the in thing, the vogue thing to be pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel. But perhaps even worse than the anti-Semitic rhetoric that's been continuously spewed out on college campuses, and in spite of what the Squad is saying, that group of leftist Democrats in Congress, worse than that is the turning of a blind eye to it all. Well, I just don't have nothing to do with all of that. It just, that's over there, this is here. Long as they just don't come bother me, I'm gonna be fine. How big a mistake is that? The casualties then of turning a blind eye are the very young people in this country that are on college campuses. We've seen it. It's hit close to home. And thousands of others in this country who have inherited the false ideologies and the anti-Israel rhetoric. And they don't know their right hand from the left. And now they don't even know who they really are. The devil has put that in their mind. Well, am I a man or am I a woman? This has to stop. Would you just say that with me? This has to stop. And guess what? There's only one way to stop it. Especially us as Americans and as believers. We have to still speak out. We have to speak the truth. Or guess what? There's going to come a day we won't have that ability to do that. Currently in this country, not for very long, I don't believe, we still have the right to a free speech. We need to use it before we lose it. Amen? Now, I can say most of us in here are saved, so you need to understand you are saved for a reason. Brother Bob, Brother Charlie, Brother Daniel, you're saved for a reason. Andrew, you're saved for a reason and a purpose. And this morning, my challenge to all of us is what I titled this message with. And that is to raise the bar right now on our spiritual life. Whatever bar you're at, you keep your quiet time? Great. You love the Lord? Great. You're in fellowship? That's great. Now raise the bar. Would you look at somebody and tell them, raise the bar? Raise the bar in your personal service, in your personal fellowship, letting your light shine like never before, being the salt that draws others to you. Become even bolder, more bold in your testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can give your story and you can give your testimony without giving details. We don't have to know who you slept with 15, 20 years ago. You can say it. The Lord picked me up out of a miry pit. Out of that miry clay, and He set my feet on the rock. Let me tell you about my Jesus who did that. Amen. Raise the bar just a little bit, because God is not finished with you yet. And you got to remember, these are dark days and it's going to get darker. So let's step up to the plate. Amen. Let's all stand together. I want to encourage you to devote yourself then to the study of God's Word. Raise the bar to the commitment and to the love for God's people even more, and of love to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, as we close online, thank you to those who have been watching. We would love for you to join us. But until then, we love you and have a blessed week. God bless you.